One moment of encounter with the Word of God is a life-changing experience. Join us at Word Feast International as we journey through dimensions of His Word.
For the entrance of thy Word give it light and understanding unto the simple.
I love the Word. I've seen the power He brought. Let's put ourselves to that Spirit is all over me.
Guiding me, safely in the way.
That song says, I love the way He walks. I've seen the path He trots. His Spirit is all over me. He's guiding me safely in the ways. I bless God for the ministry of some fathers like Delvan that can peep and collect some songs for us to ascend. Because He will guide you safely in the way this morning. I trust Him. I humble them all. Humble or call them shall. Sit down.
He knows the way. The Spirit is on me. You are guiding me safely in the way.
Elohim Adonai.
Elohim.
Elohim Adonai.
Elohim.
Elohim Adonai.
Elohim
Adonai. Ombo kombo tomba. Ayakapana. Don't be emotional about it. Be deliberate. Don't be emotional. With Jesus' joy, I want to make welcome my brother. And I want you, don't clap, you will pray in the spirit. As he's coming up, you will welcome him in the spirit. In the language of songs, in song talk. You will welcome him in the spirit. The Lord used his ministry to grant unto us a proper recalibration last night. He aligned us properly. And so tonight we trust God that we will journey. The chariots are awaiting us. Don't be left out. Let's welcome the ministry of my great brother and friend, a senior brother to me, Pastor Michael. God bless you, sir.
Hello. Give Him thanks. Give Him thanks for what He has done. The Lord is mighty among His people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give You praise. We exalt Your holy name. Oh, glory to Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank You this morning for another privilege that we have to be assembled by your Spirit. Thank you for the journey that we are going to have this morning, even by the help of the Holy Ghost, into deep places in the Spirit. Thank you for the engagement. Thank you for the interactions. We thank you for the supply of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we say, be thou magnified, be thou exalted, for letting us see your hand this morning. Thank you for the mighty things that you've begun to do already. And thank you for the many more that you will do. Take all the glory, Father. Take all the honor. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you are excited, give the Lord a shout of praise. Glory to God. What a beautiful way to begin a service. Wow. That was awesome. That was awesome. Glory to Jesus. You see, God has done so much already. From what the Lord has done, if we close this service now, the purpose has been achieved. Purpose have been achieved. Such a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. Great grace, servants of God. You know, I have the witness in my spirit to begin the service with an impartation of God's Spirit. And how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. The man of God has picked it and he has made my job easy. I will just share the word of the Lord and then I'll sneak and be on my way to McCurdy. Glory to God. This morning we are going to try to establish the premise upon which the kingdom of God is domesticated. Premise upon which sons and daughters of order will be beckoned by the Holy Spirit to come into a place of service in order to provide the needed kind of supply that the Spirit of God is willing to have in this dispensation. The moves of God are dispensational. Different dispensations have different supplies and they have different demands in the Spirit. It will be a shame for a dispensation to be opened and there are no men, there are no sons of order who are willing to pay the requisite sacrifice in order to bring to bear the purpose of God for their dispensation. You know, Paul is a man of understanding. And he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13, he said, according as it is written, he said, they believe and have spoken. We also, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. In the nutshell, what Paul was trying to establish is that the elders and the fathers, the patriarchs, have played their own part. We are not going to wait for them to come again. This is our time. And the very spirit that enabled them to carry out the assignments that they carried out for God is the very spirit that is at work in us. And we are willing to rise up to the responsibility of doing what our generation, our civilization, and our dispensation demands of us. In the days of Abraham, Abraham rose up and fulfilled his own quota. In the days of Elijah, he rose up and fulfilled his own quota. This is the day of Paul, and I will fulfill my own quota. That was the scripture that was released there. Abraham will not show up again. Peter doesn't need to show up. This day is your day, and according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. We also, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. You see, you go to meetings, you go to places, and then people keep calling on the names of patriarchs. They keep invoking the spirits of patriarchs to come on the scene. God does not operate like that. There are very peculiar cases where God had to unleash the spirit of patriarchs. And the reason for which God does that is because those responsibilities are tied specifically to those patriarchs according to the counsel of God before the foundations of the world. So for instance, in order to prosecute the ministry of Elijah, once and again Elijah had to be invoked to fulfill those mandates that were courted out into different dispensations. So when those dispensations comes, the spirit of Elijah will have to mantle a man in order to carry out that assignment. But such operations of God are specific operations. In a more boisterous fashion, God operates with people per time. And every generation that emerges on the frontiers, God gives them a measure of the spirit to carry out different assignments that are peculiar to their generation. And that was why Paul said in his own generation, he was going to carry out his own mandate. This morning, I want to bring you into an understanding of the fact that the things that God wants to do, the things that God intends to achieve, a quota of it is resting on the shoulders of every one of us. And until we corporately agree together to form that quorum, that corporate ranking that is required to advance that counsel of God, it will not be achieved. So one of the things you'll be doing at the end of this service is to make up your mind to stand in the gap so that you will not be the weakest part of the link. Because the link breaks at the weakest part. And the strength of the chain is judged from the weakest point. Every one of us is going to be empowered this morning in order to rise up and march together as a corporate army that is willing to extend the frontiers of the kingdom and to lead the banners of Zion. In the worst case scenario, God must be seen as the king and the monarch of Zion. And that responsibility is not going to come from heaven. It's going to come from earth because men are willing to stand for Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning that that man that we stand in order to ensure that the banner of Zion is floating in Enugu State is you. It's not Babalola. It's not Patrick Kuma. It's you. It's you. The essence of the gospel is to give you the energy level that is required for you to stand. Nobody who did it was strong. Everybody that did it on account of the supply of grace. It is grace that makes the difference. Women like Catherine Kuhlman were weak. They were very weak women. They were frail. When you look upon them, you know that they are weak people. But by the spirit of grace, Catherine Kuhlman could pace the floor for 18 hours speaking in tongues. It's not because she's strong. If you call a bouncer to pray in tongues for 30 minutes, he will sleep. Because it's a spiritual interaction. And until spirit supply energy cannot be achieved. Everything God wants us to do is at the level of the spirit. So we must learn how to connect to supplies in the spirit so that our weaknesses can be exchanged for his immortal powers. That is the essence for the teaching of the gospel. And this morning, as we begin to travel through the pages of scriptures, you are going to see the role, a specific role that you will be playing. I will be saying one thing, the Holy Ghost will be telling you another. At different points, you are going to be hearing your own instruction. Because the instruction is not for everybody. Every one of us have something God wants us to hear. And when that point comes, you will pick your own by the Spirit of God. And the moment you catch that instruction, then you are in for a change. Give the Lord a big shout this morning. You see, last night I began to explain to us how that God intends for every one of us to be numbered in Him, to carry out specific mandates. And I made us understand that for that possibility to find expression, we must all come back to the altar of obedience. I made us understand that man is a fallen creation. We are fallen beings. And because man is a fallen creation, he cannot operate until that genetic mutation that has taken place in his configuration is reordered. And I told you the only way that mutation can be reordered is when the spirit is supplied. Are we together? In fact, I took time to show you the sequence of that denaturation that took place. And I said, the nature of man suffered corruption. And because the nature of man suffered corruption, he began to see after the sight of the eyes. And I told you that what you see is what you become. So the Bible called it the lust of the eyes. So you lust after the eyes. You see things that satisfy the serpentine nature. And the more you see that, the more like Satan you become. And I also told you the second denaturation that took place is the lust of the flesh. You develop appetites that were patterned after the systems of the world. And everywhere you go, your appetites are no longer of the God kind. You see, the appetites of the God kind is the appetite of fellowship. It's an appetite that tries to bring you, suck you into the realm of God. But the moment you fell, fellowship was no longer in view. Everything that you try to do now was to take you away from God. And that is why if you x-ray your life carefully, you discover most of the things that powers you, most of the things that motivate you to do the things you do, they don't draw you to the presence of God. That is the operation of a fallen nature trying to find expression in you. It is called the lust of the flesh. And I told you the only way that could be achieved is if the spirit is supplied. It brings you back into obedience, and suddenly you discover that you begin to have desire to stay in the presence of God. You see, when it began with me, I was in a noisy house. Every time they want to watch movies, and they love seasonal movies, so they begin to watch from morning to evening, especially when it's weekend. But suddenly I discovered, whenever NEPA ceases light, I become happy. I become happy because for the first time, the sound of the TV will go down, and people will now go outside. And then suddenly, there was a civilization brooding in my spirit. I didn't know that God was beginning to tackle the lust of the flesh. So instead of desiring to stay away from God, I began to desire to come into the presence. It is a hunger that is better when the nature that is falling is beginning to find reconfiguration. If that has not begun, it means that you are still far from the path of spiritual progress. And I told you the third is called the pride of life. So you x-ray yourself carefully, you discover you don't do things because of yourself. You don't even do things because of God. You do things because of what others will say. So the very car you are driving is because of the people that will see you. See, the way you even drive the car, the clothes you wear, everything becomes about people. So you are drawn away from God. And I told you, the only way that all of this error could be corrected was to come back to the altar of obedience. And the altar of obedience does not only change you and transform you, the altar of obedience makes you relevant for God to use. And it is when God begins to use you that the supernatural dimension of your being will begin to find expression. You see, men like Moses, they were natural men. He was in Egypt, nobody knew him until he grew and became a man. But when that appetite began to draw him, when it began to draw him, a point came where he was drawn into the presence of God, and he stayed there in the wilderness for 40 years. Do you know what it means to leave a palace and suddenly begin to live in the wilderness and you are not complaining? It means something has changed in your mind. You are no longer sleeping on the water bed. Suddenly you are sleeping on the rock. But even on the rock, you love it more than when you were on the water bed. You see, you wake up in the morning and people wash your feet and they attend to you. You don't even have to pick anything. You can't pick a pin. Somebody picks for you. And then suddenly you are in a place where you are now commanding ships. And then you don't feel it. The reason you don't feel it is because there has been a reconfiguration in your mind. And when Moses stayed there for a long time, the point came where that transformation hit his body and his eyes opened. And he beheld and he saw a bush burning and it was not consumed. You see, obedience takes you from naturality to immortality. A point came where the man of God would see the things that were happening. You know, a point comes when you are given to God until when you come to your room, naturally you begin to hear sounds. You are walking on the street, you see people and then you see something on them. See, that obedience has superimposed in your natural being to an extent that you can literally see beyond your realm. That's when men become supernatural. The Moses that ran away from Egypt could now come back to Pharaoh and challenge Pharaoh to let the people of God go. He was no longer a man. He had become a God. The path from humanity to godness or godhood is the path of obedience. God told him in Exodus chapter 7 verse 1, he said, "Behold, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh." He was Pharaoh's subject, but now he has become what? A God unto Pharaoh. These were the points we were trying to emphasize last night. But this morning, I want to shift a bit further. I want to shift forward a bit so that you will see the picture more graphically. You see, most of us, the gospel we began to hear was, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." That's the only gospel we heard. And because that was the only gospel we heard, we felt that only God was responsible. Our own is just to receive and enjoy. I want to show you the background story. If you see the background, you know, if you are here when this building was erected and you see the blocks that went inside, when you are in the room, you will not only be seeing the beauty, you will see the dirty job. If you see the background story, then you will know where you fit in. I want to show you the background story so that you understand what it means for a banquet. When we speak of banquet, you know, banquet is a convergence of kings and his mighty men for feasting. The word in the Hebrew is mishteh. Mishteh means to feast, to drink, and to celebrate. But you see, celebration is the last rudder on the equation. So if you don't know how to journey onto celebration, you will be excluded. You will talk about it, but you'll be excluded. So before we talk about the banquet, let me show you what happens at the background. The background story that you were not told. If you know the background story, you will understand why, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, became necessary. You know, that was not part of the original equation. That gospel you were told was not part of the original equation. That became necessary because of the fall. And then when the fall had been addressed, we go back to the original story. The original story is what you were not told. And that is why for some of you have been Christians for 10 years, but you don't have any fruit. You can't point to anybody standing because of you. You can't point to anything happening in the body of Christ because of you. But the apostles served Jesus for 3.5 years, and they became apostles, and they took over their kingdom because God showed them the original story. The story began in the spirit realm. It began in the spirit. You know, today I will just give you a narrative of the Bible. I want to summarize the Bible for you so that if you pick a verse in the Bible, you can see the whole picture. You pick a verse, you can see the whole picture. The story began in the spirit. You see, if you study the book of Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 1 to 10, you are going to see what happened. It is called the Council of the Godhead. It was a community of the Godhead. They sat together and they began to design creation. They began to say what they wanted to see, what they wanted to happen. And when they were designing it, according to the royal decree of God, he was formulating them as laws, as ordinances, and as precepts. Everything that God said was invoked into creation, and it became a law. It became a pathway that everything that was going to come after we follow. And in that charter that was designed in heaven, God began from the spirit. And the very reason why God began creation was to derive pleasure from outside of himself. You know, the word God means self-existent one. He doesn't need you to be God, but you need him to be God. As self-existent one, everything that he wants and desire is in him. But God wanted to go on an adventure. And on this adventure, God wanted to embark on. He wanted to create something outside of himself that could give him pleasure. He wanted to see how there was a possibility for something outside of him could give pleasure to him. Because he had existed before existence began. Everything was himself. There was nothing outside of him. So for the first time, probably out of God's own curiosity. You know, sometimes you just sit down, you want to do something and see what will happen. You know, we have the nature of God. The reason you just sit down, imagine something, and then you do it. Maybe you sit down, you say, this evening, let me go and give myself a treat of fried rice and chicken with very chilled bottle of wine. And then you reminisce on it, then you just go. When you are taking that fried rice and chicken, and then you are taking the wine, then you find pleasure. See, God was existing as an entity of himself. There was nothing outside of him. So for the first time, he imagined, what would it look like if I created something outside of me? What kind of pleasure would I enjoy? That was when God began to embark on the mission. And because God was spirit, he began his project from the spirit realm. It was because of that project that angelic pattern was designed. God created beings in the spirit realm and gave them functions. Every functionary in the spirit realm had specific function that he was going to carry out in order to give God pleasure. Out of this angelic quadrant, they were split into three. We had the warfare quadrant, we had the mystery and the wisdom quadrant, and then we had the worship quadrant. All of these quadrants were headed by archangels. And of these three archangels, one of them is called Michael, the other is called Gabriel, and the other is called Lucifer. But because at the time God embarked on that spiritual creation, there was no war in heaven. The ministry of Michael was not necessary. Because Michael was framed to and designed to embark on warfare. If you look at the physique of Michael, Michael is like an armory. Have you seen an armor tank? He was designed for warfare. So if you look upon Michael, you are going to see a warrior. Everything about Michael speaks of the strength of God. You know, God did not create anything that did not depict his nature, because he cannot function outside of his nature. So even the angelic beings carry different dimensions of the natures of God. And what Michael represented was the strength of God. If you looked at Michael, you will begin to imagine what kind of strength this man is made of. This being is a totality of what strength is, what power is. And the reason for that was because he was designed to mirror the power and the almightiness of God. Gabriel, on the other hand, was designed as a reflector of the wisdom of God. You see, the wisdom of God is the template upon which everything that God designs, everything that God does, finds expression. You cannot understand the wisdom of God except it is given to you, even if you are a spirit. Hope you know that if you come to this camp, if you are smart, you will know, you will in a way discern what the man of God is trying to achieve. It's evident that he loves people and he wants to see people grow. He wants to raise people. So he put his money, he put his time, he put his effort. You understand? So if you look at it, you are not giving anything. He organized everything and said, come. So you will just know the wisdom at work. The wisdom at work is the outworking of love. A love that wants to see people grow into stature in God so that they can become responsible. It's not difficult to discern. But it's not like that with the wisdom of God. When the wisdom of God is operating, if you try to discern it from here, you will discover that what you are trying to see here is actually here. So when you fight here, what you are trying to fight, you are actually bringing it to pass. So if you try to understand the wisdom of God, the more you try to understand it, the more foolish you become until it is given to you. That's why the Bible said, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because the wisdom that was operating was that Jesus was going to bring salvation to the world. But the devil saw that Jesus was trying to destroy what he has created, so he wanted to kill Jesus. The more he tried to kill Jesus, the more he brought that into pass. He thought that killing Jesus would destroy what God was doing. But he didn't know that killing Jesus was actually the gateway to open that which Jesus came to do. Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. The only way Jesus was going to be lifted up is was for him to die. So Satan became the agent that carried out that thing for God. That's how the wisdom of God operated. Now, if you look at Gabriel, Gabriel is the personality of wisdom. So every time God wants to reveal a mystery, he sends Gabriel. Because through Gabriel, wisdom is manifested. However, even at that time, the operation of wisdom was not necessary. The operation of wisdom was not necessary because heaven in itself is a perpetual continuum. If you store up in heaven, you have capacity to know. Yes, because heaven is a realm of life. It's a realm of knowledge. It's a realm of understanding. The moment you ascend in heaven, there are measures given to you. So anything that is going to be hid in heaven will be hid in mystery. Because heaven is a realm of knowledge. The only things you cannot know in heaven are the things that are locked in mystery. Gabriel was the summation of the operation of the wisdom of God. But wisdom was not necessary. The only thing that was necessary at the time was the operations of worship. You see, in worship, what happens is that in worship, the greatest revelation of God is manifested in worship. That's why worship is very significant. You see, the highest revelation of God is not love. The highest revelation of God is his holiness. See, the holiness of God is a revelation of the fact that God is in his own class. He is different from every other thing. Nothing is like him. Every other thing derives from him. He is separated. It is in holiness that the demarcation between creation and creator is manifested. So if you see the love of God is a revelation of his holiness. It is in the love of God that you see that God loves differently from every other kind. It is in the love of God that you can know that nothing can love like God. So love in itself is a revelation of holiness. If you see the mercy of God, it's also another dimension of the unconditional capacity of God to cure and to accommodate. That mercy of God in itself is a manifestation of his holiness. If you see the kindness of God, it's a manifestation of his holiness. But the only way you can submit the totality of the manifest revelation of God is on the altar of worship. Because in worship, creation gives way. So that God is pedestaled as king. That is why the only assignment that was needed in heaven was the assignment of worship. Till today, the elders don't do anything in heaven. The Bible said the four beasts, morning and evening, day and night, they sing holy. Holy is the Lord. The angels don't call him love. They don't call him kindness. They don't call him peace. They call him holy. Because when you call God holy, you have called him love. When you call God holy, you have called him peace. When you call God holy, you have called him kindness. At that time, the only ministry that was required in heaven was the ministry of Lucifer. Because Lucifer was the ranking angel that was in charge of worship. And because of this, Lucifer felt that he was special. He did not know that everything that he is and was a revelation of his side of God. Nobody can contain God completely. Big and mighty as he was only a revelation of a kind of God. He didn't know that like him were other 12 princes. There were 12 chief princes in heaven that had the same status as he had. But because his ministry was relevant at the time, he felt that he was more significant. And pride entered his heart. And Lucifer declared, so that we are sent to heaven. You know, Lucifer was so big that even the earth realm at that time, before man came, was committed to him. Yes. If you study the book of Isaiah chapter 14 verse 16, you hear what the Bible said. He said, thou that shaketh it. He was operating as the prince over the earth realm. And he was also operating the mountain of God. And suddenly Lucifer thought in his heart that he was like God. He said that we are sent to heaven. We exalt my throne above the stars of God. And we are set above the clouds. When you speak of the clouds, you are speaking of the glory. You see, God sits above the glory. He wants to ascend above it. He said that we ascend above the stars of God. And I will sit in the sights of the north like the Most High. He didn't need to say it. The moment he uttered it, God picked it from his heart. And immediately he was no longer relevant. The meaning of God was evoked. You see, when you are walking with God, you think, I hear people say, God cannot do anything with us, without us. They don't know what sovereignty is. They don't know it. The whole of heaven depended on Lucifer. You see, the kind of worship that Lucifer organized in heaven is not this type. The Bible said, thy pipes and thy tabrets were indeed from the day of thy creation. Lucifer was so wired that he could read the emotions of God. He could read the movements of God. So when God wants to be happy, Lucifer just needs to shake. And then joy will fill the temple. If God wants to laugh, Lucifer just needs to shake. And the heaven will be filled with laughter. He knew God more than every other person. Because by reason of his service, he was connected to God intimately. But suddenly, the moment he decided to go against the legal system of heaven, he was no longer relevant. It was the first time that Lucifer understood that God does not depend on anything. That is the name I am that I am. It doesn't depend on anything. I am was invoked in heaven. And the Bible said, oh, Lucifer, thou son of the morning. He said, how art thou fallen? He said, thou shalt be cast from the mountains of the Lord. You are cast away. He said, there is no place for you anymore. How can heaven survive without Lucifer? Heaven survives because there is the I am. The I am does not need you. You need him. Lucifer did not have this understanding. So he decided to defy the protocol of heaven. And he was cast from the mountains of God. It was when Lucifer was ejected from heaven that man became leader. You see, heaven is a realm of perpetual continuum. There's no time. It's a timeless reality. The years that Lucifer lived in heaven, we cannot tell. But let me tell you something. Before the first earth was created, Lucifer was there. When the first earth was created, Lucifer was there. You see, the earth, what you read in the book of Genesis chapter 1, was not the creation of heaven and earth. It was a recreation process. The Bible only mentioned it in verse 1. Everything that happened from verse 2 was recreation. It was not creation. But when Job decided to go against the holiness of God and God showed up, he said, where were you when the sons of the morning sank into the foundations of the earth? See, the reason everything has sunk, you know the honor that Lucifer had with God. Lucifer was given the honor to be the custodian of life. You see, life is coded in sound. Life is not coded in breath. It is coded in sound. And Lucifer was in charge in the harmonics of sound. So Lucifer was the regulator of life. That is why God speaks to the dead. God can speak to this iron because this iron can produce sound. Anything that has sound has life. So when God was creating the world,
He said, where were you?
He was talking to Job. You know, a lot of us, sometimes we try to carry out treasonable offenses. But when God shows up, you discover your folly. Job thought that because he was carrying the sacrifice, obeying the covenant, nothing should happen to him. He didn't understand that his life was actually designed by God to mirror a dimension of God. See, every circumstance you are going through, it was written before the world began. Those circumstances are the vistas through which people will know who God is. When you go through sickness and you are healed, people will now know that there is an invincible force that heals. So through you now, they understand that healing is real. The sickness is not a challenge. God allows it so that you, through your circumstances, can become a vista through which people will know who God is. He did not put the sickness on you, but he turns it out for good. That's why I say all things work together for the good of them that love him, who are called. It's a calling unto purpose. Job was being bedeviled by sickness. And instead of Job giving thanks that he found worthy to mirror the faithfulness of God, Job began to rebel. And God showed up. He said, who is this that speaketh word, darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? He said, where were you when I opened the foundations of the world? The things that are going on in your life now, they were written before the world began. Who told you can change it? Your life is supposed to be a window through which people will see that God is faithful. That one should not give up with God. No matter how bad it is, the faithfulness of God speaks again. How dare you darken that which was ordained before the world began? That's why your circumstance becomes an altar of worship. But you don't know. You run away every time. God gives you a privilege to become that which his dimension will be mirrored. And you run away. You are not wise. Lucifer had all of these honors in heaven and pride entered his heart. The moment Lucifer fell, another operation began. That was when creation became necessary for man. You see, man was hid in the archive. You see, it's not like we were not in existence. We were actually existing, but we were hid inside of God. You didn't begin the day you were born. Tell somebody, you didn't begin the day you were born. You were hid in God. See, you were hid. God had man before the world began. Because one of the attendant revelation of God is that he is the omniscient one. He knows the end from the beginning. He's called Alpha and Omega. It means beginning, end. He journeyed into the end before the beginning began. So he knew that when Lucifer fails, there was a need for another project. Because what God wants to achieve will always come to pass. And God must be worshipped so long as creation we find expression. The reason for creation is so that God is worshipped. So God created man and hid man in himself. Lucifer did not know that even when he was operational, a substitute was already in heaven. So when God began the creation of man, the Bible said, God said, let us make man in our own image. And he said, after our own likeness. And he said, in the image of God, created man. The word create is the word bara. Bara means to be made out of nothing. So man came from the breath of God. When Lucifer fell, what God did was that he breathed man out of himself. And for that man to operate on earth, he need to encase him in dust. Why did God choose dust this time around? Because he does not want man to go the path of Lucifer. Now, the reason Lucifer became proud was because the very making of Lucifer was made with beauty and glory. If you read the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 11, the Bible said, thou that sitteth the sun. When Lucifer shows up, his brightness is more than the sun. If Lucifer stands here now, you will no longer see the sun. He is that bright. The Bible speaks that Lucifer was made of the 10 precious stones. Diamond, jasper, carbuncle, gold, sapphire. All the most precious stones that God ever created. That was what he gathered together to form Lucifer. And Lucifer was the definition of beauty and glory. But this time around, God did not want the glory of his creation to be external. He hid the glory inside. So the glory, who is God himself, he put it in dust. So when you look at a man, you can't see the glory until that which is on his inside comes out. That is when you see glory. In worship, what we do is that God decides to alter our orientation so that glory can come out. Worship is not an act. Falling down is not the act. Lying is not the act. The act is what God put in place so that as you shift away, the mortality can shift so that the glory can rise. Every time we worship, what happens in the spirit is that there is an ascension of glory from our inside. That is what Lucifer did not have. Lucifer's beauty was external. So if you look at him, you could judge him. I can't tell the end of him. because I don't know Jesus. If Jesus manifests, he's bigger than this country. That's how it is. So he said, God has given the treasure in 18 vessels, so that the excellency of the glory will be of God, not of man. When you see man operating now, you won't make the mistake to ascribe it to him. You will know that, no, what is happening is something inside. The technology that is operational here is beyond what I'm seeing. It's something inside. When you see Lucifer operating, you can give him the glory, but you can never give the glory to man, because the glory is in 18 vessels. What you see has no value, but what is coming out, you must ascribe it to God. That was the wisdom that encased the creation of man. Man was created for a purpose. You know, I told you redemption was not necessary. Redemption became necessary because man fell again. The reason redemption became necessary was because man fell. So if all you know about the gospel is what God has done for you, then you don't know the reason why you were made. That's why you see people doing all kinds of things on the street today. They don't know why they were made. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, from verse 15, the Bible said, and God created, planted a garden in the east side of Eden, and he put the man there. He said he put the man there to cultivate it and to keep it. The word cultivate or nurture is a prophetic word. The word keep is also a prophetic word. There are two spheres of assignment. The first assignment is God word. The second assignment is earth word. The God word assignment is an intercessory assignment, a prophetic assignment. That means man, to cultivate that garden, must always keep the garden synchronized with God. Because it is the pouring, the outpouring of God upon the garden that will keep the garden. So the first assignment of man is to hook up to God in fellowship. And so long as the man is hooked up to God in fellowship, creation will be preserved. The second assignment was for the man to extend the influence of God that comes upon the creation and dominate the world. So that the garden will no longer be on the east side of Eden, but a point will come where the whole earth will become the garden of the Lord. That's why our assignment is for the fellowshipping or hooking up with the Lord, and then for the domination of the world. It is when the extent to which you carry out that assignment that will determine where you will sit in the banquet. That's what you were not taught. This gospel you have been taught, if you walk with it, you will go to heaven and discover you are a nobody. Where you will be is what? A function of the degree to which you carry out your assignment in keeping and cultivating the garden. Are we together? However, man fell. But thank God. You see, David was carried in the spirit. Then he heard a deliberation in the angelic realm. You see, when he heard that deliberation, him himself now sat down and he began to contemplate. You see, the deliberation in the angelic realm was that the angels were wondering, why does God love man so much? Why? They didn't understand. Why does God love this man so much? The angels, they keep deliberating. So David, when he picked it by prophetic name, himself now went for the first time and sat down. And he began to look at the stars. He looked at the heavenly bodies. He looked at the world. And he asked himself, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He said, what is man that thou visitest him? He said, you made him a little lower than... The word there is not angel. The word there is Elohim. He said, you see, the people who were translating the Bible, they felt that kind. How can man be lower than only God? Are the angels not bigger than man? So they were the ones that put angel there. If you go and check the Hebrew word, it's Elohim. See, in the operational structure of creation, man is next to God. That's the Adamic authority. He said, you made him a little lower than the Elohim. Why? Why? Somebody said, why? It's because of service. You see, the angels, according to their design, they can't know God. They cannot what? They cannot know God. They only know about God. The only creation that has the capacity to know God is man. You know why? The only way God can be known is by His Spirit. And man is the only one that carries the Holy Spirit. So the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 that the angels are watching the church to teach them the manifold wisdom of God. So every time the angels see God show love to man, they will just lie down and say, holy. We don't know why, but you are sovereign, holy. The same offense that Lucifer carried out, man carried out the same offense. And God now chose to become like a creation and save man. When they look at it, they lie down, they say, holy. You see, you go and sin, and then you come back and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. And the next thing God embraces you. They lie down, they say, holy. You see, when Jesus was telling the prodigal son, see, the parables that Jesus told were heavenly mysteries. A child deserted the father, squandered the father's resources. And the moment the father saw the father didn't wait for the child to apologize. He ran and hugged him. The angel said, holy. So it is what we say about God that they hear and learn. So it is man that says God is light. It is man that says God is love. It's man that says God is kind. It's man that says God is useful. It's man that says God is peace. It's man that begins to describe God to the angels. So one of the duties of the church is to teach the angels about God. It is the highest honor in the kingdom. But the more of God you will know, it is the more of Him that you interact with. Because God is known by His Spirit. That's why you can put the whole scripture, but you don't know God. It's an experiential reality. The Greek word for it is epignosis. See, when you know about God, it's called gnosis in scripture. Gnosis is knowledge you come about by gathering data, analysis. But as you begin to walk with the Lord, you begin to have disclosures. It's called epignosis. God begins to open Himself to you. And then as you begin to mingle with God, you travel from epignosis to ginosko. In ginosko, what God is, you now are. So you don't just know it anymore. You have become a manifestation of it. The more you become it, when people see you, they see God. That is how you begin to colonize your world. Because the reason God designed it like that is so that you can preserve His creation. Creation has no preservation except as man arises. That's why the Bible said the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The reason God allows you to come into Him is so that He can derive pleasure through that interaction with you, and so that through you, He can provide and defend the integrity of creation. That is what we call the kingdom. In the kingdom, you become the functionary that stands for God. And the only way you can do that is to put away your appetites. Is to put away your desires. So that through you, God is manifested. The question is, how many of us are manifesting God today? You know, you don't know what Jesus had to go through for you to become who you are. The Bible said the prophets of old, He said they searched the scriptures diligently to find out when these things will come to pass. And He said even the angels, they desire to look. They try to peep. When they were talking about redemption, you see, the angels try to peep. Go and read 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9. See, creation is the biggest, redemption is the biggest news in creation. When the angels heard about it, that God wanted to save man, the Bible said they peeped. They tried to peep into what God was trying to do. And He said, Jesus endured the shame for the glory that will be revealed. Do you know who that glory is? It's you and I. The reason Jesus endured the shame was for you and I. We are the revelation of the glory of God. See, the glory of God is no longer a cloud. It's not just a cloud anymore. The glory of God is man. And the reason for it is that Jesus paid the price to attain the claims of divine justice. For Jesus to do that, He had to relinquish the status of God and become a man. That's the doctrine of the incarnation. He did not stop there.
He had to die the death of a criminal. Have you imagined what it would be like? Maybe they say, they want to save the ant kingdom now. And they said, Apostle here should become an ant. And go to change, to save the ant kingdom. Do you know the plights that ants go through? So, he will now start, when rain falls now, he will be digging sand. So that he will live inside sand. Jesus suffered the highest shame. Then he died. Now, the significance of the death of Jesus, the significance of the incarnation and the death of Jesus are enormous. Now, without the incarnation, the claims of divine justice could not have been attained. Because a corrupt blood cannot save another corrupt blood. And even if you find a man that does not have corruption, he doesn't have the stature that is required to save the world. So the only way that was going to happen was for God to carry out the biggest sacrifice, which was to become man, so that he would become flesh and blood in order to save man. So Jesus became flesh and blood in order to save man. Now, because of that incarnation, you and I now have ability to participate in the Spirit. Because, you know, somebody said the Son of God became the Son of Men so that the sons of men can become the sons of God. It's very true. Yes, that is because Jesus partook of our nature. We are now called to participate in his nature. So he said, according as his divine power has made all things. What? According as his divine power have made all things. Help me with the scripture now. He's alluding me. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. And he said, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. He said, he has given us these exceeding great and precious promises that by them we might escape the corruption that is in the world through love. So he gave us capacity to participate in divinity. That's why Jesus said, for somebody who is born again, he said, this is his new nature. We also enjoy the incarnation. But our own incarnation is from flesh to spirit. Jesus' incarnation is from spirit to flesh. But ours is from flesh to spirit. So Jesus said, like the wind bloweth, and that listeth not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. He said, so are they that are born by the Spirit of God. So you now, because of the corridor of incarnation, you can now become a spirit reality. You can now participate in the Spirit. The death of Jesus, what it does for you is that he kills the old man. He judges the old creation. So the Bible said, because Jesus died and was buried, he said, you too, you are dead. It is that death of Jesus that makes you escape the penalty of sin. Because the law of the Spirit is that the wages of sin is death. So you and I must have to die. But the only way we died was in Christ. So the death of Jesus gives you the pedestal and the opportunity for you to also enjoy death in Christ. So you have now escaped the messianic judgment. And it does not stop there. The power of sin is also broken from your life. Because you are no longer of the old stock. The old stock has been judged. It has died and it has been buried. But it doesn't stop there. Where does Christianity begin from? Christianity does not begin in the incarnation. It does not begin in the death. It begins in the resurrection. That's why Christianity is the victorious life. In the resurrection, what God does is that it infuses in you the seed of immortality. So every one of us have become immortal entities. You know, sometimes when we are praying and then we begin to talk about the immortals. The immortals. All you imagine are angels. No. You are also an immortal. Yes. Do you not know that right now there are some saints, spirit of judgment made perfect, who are operating in heaven like the cherubs of glory? When John went to heaven, it was not an angel that carried him around heaven. It was a man that ascended to glory. John wanted to worship him and he said, no, I am like unto you. I'm also of your brethren. I'm a brethren like you. We are also immortals. I read a book, The Maharishi of Mount Kailash. He was an Indian intercessor. The Spirit of God carried him into a cave, a far cave in Mumbai, India. And he has been there for 400 years. Death could no longer come upon him. Through intercession, he entered into immortality. Oftentimes, spirit of judgment come to visit him. Saint Francis of Assisi, they come to visit him in the cave. They interact with them. It is a you know what Jesus said? There are some standing here who will not taste of death. You think that is an allegorical statement. You know, it's a literal statement. The man said he saw John the beloved. There is no record of the death of John. He was sentenced to the Isle of Patmos to die, but he didn't die. See, today he's alive. And if you think it's a lie, go and read the book of Luke, chapter 2, from verse 17. The Bible said God told the prophet, he said, you will not taste of death until you see the consummation of Israel. A mortal body now has ability to keep immortality. In fact, during the rapture, what will happen is that the church will hit the revelation of immortality. You see, we have hit the revelation of healing. So healing is now commonplace. We have hit the revelation of prosperity. Prosperity is commonplace. A time will come. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10 says, God has revealed life and immortality through Jesus. A time will come when the church will know immortality and people will choose when they want to go to heaven. Yes. Yes. You can say, me, I will be here for 120 years. And then no devil can kill you. Because you have seen the revelation of immortality. Elijah did not die. He was carried to glory. Enoch did not die. He was carried to glory. Glory to God. So, that is the revelation of the resurrected Christ. That revelation gives you ability to live above sin. And then you have the revelation of the ascension. Jesus had to ascend to heaven. The reason Jesus ascended was so that you and I can continue his ministry. You wouldn't have had the authority. See, every time this man of God is preaching, it's Jesus that is preaching. As I'm preaching now, it's the work of Jesus I'm doing. The prophets of old, they spoke about Jesus' coming. We are not speaking about Jesus. We are representing Jesus. That's the difference in the dispensation. The people of old were prophesying the coming. We are not talking about Jesus. See, when you go to speak to somebody about salvation, eternal life does not come from heaven. It comes out of your spirit. Because as he is, so are you now in this world. See, there are three questions of redemption. The first question is, who have believed our report? The second question is, unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The third question is, who shall declare his generation? What we are doing is that we are declaring his generation. That's why we are bold to enter into territories of darkness. And we speak, because when we speak, the Bible said the Lord confirmed the words of his servant. He performed the counsel. There is not all the time that we give prophetic words that we hear. Sometimes we don't hear, we decree it and it's established. That's how we take over territories. We come to territories and we judge the princes of the land. You come to a territory and you say, every soul in this land receives Jesus. People like John Knox stood up and said, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. And he caused a revival in Scotland. That's how we advance the kingdom. You come into your office, there are people there who are boasting of chance. There are people there, they say, no, this thing doesn't happen here. This is our culture here. What do you mean? You put an end to it, because when you show up, Jesus have shown up. All of that authority you have is because of the ascension. That is why Jesus did not give gifts to men until he was ascended. He said, him that ascended. The same was the one that descended. And when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. Some, he said, they will be apostles. The apostles are the ones that carry the mandate of the kingdom to different territories. So when an apostle shows up, it's not a title coming. It's a kingdom coming. It's a kingdom coming. When an apostle shows up, he plants a kingdom. He raises people. And suddenly men begins to call upon the name of the Lord. He says, some will be prophets. This one has the capacity to tap into heaven. And they tell you, this is what God wants to do now. And because they utter it, it begins to happen. You could be going through crisis for 10 years. And then the prophet shows up and you say, say, leave. It's not a big word, but because he has uttered it, what he has done is that he has connected you to heaven. And the success of heaven begins to power you. That was how Moses operated. Jacob was one of the patriarchs of old. Jacob cursed Reuben. But when Moses showed up by the prophetic oil, Moses said, let Reuben leave. Let Reuben leave. Let Reuben leave. They say your family, ladies, don't get married. They have failed. They came late. You show up and you say, everyone get married. I did not have this understanding. My elder sister, one was 34, two were 32. And I showed up. I said, get married before this year run out. Three of them are married with children. The moment light hits you, you enter into authority. In the ascension, what happens in the ascension is that you begin to live on earth from heaven. The reason Jesus had authority on earth was because the Bible said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He was walking on earth, but he was living from heaven. And the Bible said, he that is from above is above all. The ascension gives you opportunity to live from heaven. So every time you speak, you are speaking from heaven. Every time you move, heaven is moving. There are times when we come to places, people are demonized. As you look upon them, the demon leave. The demon leave. You don't need to command again. You now have understanding of the ascension. When you show up, heaven flows. I came with an entourage of angels. There are some meetings that I attend, and as I just mount the altar, I see an angel run through the people, and then the power of God begins to move. I don't even say anything. They don't know me, for God's sake. I just came there for the first time. That is because of the ascension. The ascension gives you authority. Authority with God. Authority to shape the lives of people. I've come to places where people are immoral. I rebuke, I say, I judge the spirit of iniquity. And they have a turnaround. I learned it from John G. Lake. John G. Lake could see somebody who is alcoholic, giving to addiction. And he places his hand on the person. And he breaks the siege of addiction. He doesn't need counseling. He dies. That's the power of ascension. The enthronement is what orchestrates the supply of the spirit. It's because of the enthronement that we have the Holy Ghost. So every time that you want more of the supply of the spirit, you interact with the King. The more you see him as Lord, the more the spirit is supplied. That's what I was teaching yesterday. In obedience, what we do is that we proclaim Jesus as Lord. And the more you proclaim him as Lord, the more the spirit is supplied. So sometimes you just come and you say to people, you are blessed. They don't know why their life changed. Sometimes you are traveling in a motor car because you sat with a man, a curse is broken. The guy will never even know that you broke the curse. He doesn't know because it's the supply of the spirit. You come to a place and then you just shake hands with people. That you shook hands with them, their lives changed. We've had those testimony once and again. Sometimes God wants you to know, because God wants to register the consciousness. He allows something supernatural to happen so that you will consciously transmit. You know, transmission is a conscious thing. You transmit consciousness. A time came when we went to pray for a woman that was crippled. Prayed down the power of God, she got up and began to walk, and seven demons left her. In fact, before she walked, the woman that was crippled and broken was moving on her knees like a dog and back with energy. The demon left her, she began to walk. When we came out from there, me and the pastors that went were just strolling, and then we just came to the house. And then as I was shaking people, they were falling down. That was the first time I saw the dimension. I didn't know what happened. The pastors were shaking. I just, sister, where do? And then people were falling down. And I stopped shaking people. And the Holy Ghost whispered. He said, I want you to know that you are a carrier of the blessing. You are a carrier of the blessing. So now when I touch people, I do it consciously. Because I now know that I am a carrier of the blessing. The blessing travels in the spirit. So if you want to dominate your world, what you need to do is that become more interwoven with the spirit. The more you engage in intimacy with the Holy Ghost, the more he breaks out. That's how you change your world. The gospel of the kingdom is the unveiling of Jesus as the Lord. Lord in your life, Lord in your system where you begun. That is the gospel that we have called men to preach. That gospel requires responsibility. Because everything Jesus did was in your spirit. It's a legal thing. For you to make it an experiential reality, you must take up responsibility. Because what Jesus did not happen in your soul. It did not happen in your body. If your soul is born again, you become an imbecile. Because there will be no information there anymore. So God did not born again your soul. It was your spirit that was born again. And everything God has, he put it in your spirit by the Holy Ghost. So the Bible said, he that is joined with the Lord is one spirit. But what God wants to achieve is that reality that is in your spirit will permeate your soul, permeate your body, and permeate your circumstance. For that to happen, you need time to fast. You need time to fellowship. You need time to pray. That's where responsibility comes into the gospel. Because you were not saved by works, but you were saved unto good works. It is in your good work that you advance the kingdom. Some people say, come on, I don't need to fast. Why do I need to fast? If you don't need to fast, you will have God in your spirit, but they will not manifest in your soul. Because your soul is full of sin and iniquity. The word of God needs to enter your soul again and again. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, it said, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed. The word is metamorphosis. Your soul is restored. A point comes where you can feel when the power of God seeps through your soul. You can feel it on your body. Because your body is mortified. See, those desires, they die. The Spirit of God mortifies them. But for it to happen, you must constantly engage the spirit realm. What do we do in prayers? In prayers, what we do is that we collide with God and we allow Him to permeate us. That's why it's conversation. As you talk with Him, you pour yourself to Him. And then a point comes, you listen, He pours Himself to you. So what happens is that the soul which did not have this experience of salvation, we now begin to have it. We now begin to have it. So suddenly you go to the place of prayer, you come out strong. You don't see any limitation again. If you leave that intensity go down, the things you were confronted yesterday, you will see them today and run. Because that's the state of the soul. The soul needs constant reinvigoration by the Spirit of God. That's why we pray. He said, you dearly beloved, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, the point comes when you hit the zenith of your faith. And then that time, God begins to talk to you. How about Boko? How about Dubai? How about Mozambique? Then at that point, you now begin to speak over nations. You must first of all rise before you can raise men. Prayer helps you to rise. Rise up in God. Then a point comes where you come to your family and then you speak words. That's when the Bible says, Saviors shall arise from Mount Zion. See, everything around you will be there until you take the responsibility of the kingdom. And if you don't take that responsibility, what will happen is that you will not just lose out in God. But a day will come in eternity, God will point to you that this one, the one who was supposed to save you. But that day when you saw him, I asked you to talk to him, you refused. So for that, you won't have this God. This one, you were the one who was supposed to deliver her. But I told you 3 days ahead to fast so that you will have faith to confront that demon. But you refused. So this lady was tormented for 10 more years. Those 10 years that she missed, it was your fault. Do you know the Bible said to Ezekiel, you say, if I tell a wicked man, you will die, and you do not tell him, I will demand his blood of your hand. We are called unto priestly responsibilities. These things must dominate you until life itself does not have meaning anymore. Paul said, if it's for him, he wants to go to heaven now. He said, the reason is because of you. It's for your own benefit. I've come to a point where you are living because of what God wants you to do. Or you are just living because you love life. Love life. Lord, keep me, keep me. It's a time for people to arise. You are not standing up in the night to pray because you have a problem. You are standing up in the night to pray because you want to stop the operations of witches and wizards. That time that you raise those insects, it blocks things in the spirit. You are rising up in the night to pray because that young man going to that dear parlor, a time has come for him to stop. You are rising up in the night to pray because that prostitute lady, you want her to enter into her destiny in God. That's when you begin to live the life of God. The life of God is the life of sacrifice. You live for others. You live for purpose. You live for ordination. Your ordinations have been calling. It has been beckoning upon you. How long will this man of God be the only one raising this altar? When will you rise up and say, no, 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 no. There is something happening in Udi. Let's go there. When will you rise up and say, there is something happening in Usuka. Let's go there. It is time for you to become militant. Is a calling unto a militant spirit. The Bible said in the day of the Lord, he said, men shall arise like horses. He calls some of them war horses. He calls some of them race horses. He calls some of them show horses. Who are you in the spirit? Paul said, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. It's time for you to put your beauty aside. You are not the only beautiful one. It's time for you to come out of your depression. You are not the only ugly person. It does not take beauty or ugliness to achieve it. It is a writing code that is being engrafted in your spirit. God knew you were going to do it. He had faith in you. Who told you had the right to disbelieve yourself? The one that made you say you could do it. Who told you you cannot? It's a deception from the devil. Can you rise up in the spirit and ask the Lord for the strength that is required to bet your ordination? A lot of people are in bondage because you have not risen. How long will the bondage continue? Endless expectation of creation waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. The Bible said you die like men, you fall like the princes because you know not. I've come to tell you tonight that heaven had already prepared you. Before you came, it was written. You are just discovering it. It was written in the spirit. The devil knows, that's why he has been fighting you. Because your star reveals it. Before Jesus was born, the devil had gone ahead to truncate the process so that he would not be born. After Jesus was born, the devil still went and truncated the process. The reason you are being fought intensely is because they know the day your destiny breaks out. Oh my God. A nation is in for a deliverance. Most of the people that you see doing mighty things for God, they were not even in the cities. They were far, hidden away from civilization. But when the light of God begins to shine, it begins to draw men. It begins to draw men. It begins to draw men. Maybe you started the prayer as one man. Tomorrow a friend walks in and sees you praying and he wants to join you. Tomorrow he brings his friend. Next tomorrow you are 50. Next tomorrow you are 100. And next time you are looking for a place where you will pray. Next time you are beginning to send men. You are beginning to send men. And then they begin to wonder, is this not Chinenye? Is this not Onyenye? Is this not charity? No, 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 no. The one you are seeing now is a God. God has risen on his inside. God has risen on his inside. Hey! How I wish we could allow God. The Bible said Jesus stands on the door, knocking on the heart of men. Will you look away from yourself for one more time? How long will you look at your limitations? Moses was a stammerer, yet God sent him to deliver a nation. Can you look away? God knows you cannot pray, yet he calls you a prophet. He knows you cannot fast, yet he calls you an apostle. God knows you are poor, yet he calls you a governor. When will you receive the prophetic word over your life? The word of God is floating. Sometimes when you don't have the energy, what God does is that he allows a mantle of another man to come upon you. The Bible said in the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 4, they say on the mountain of the Lord, there are shields of 1,000 warriors. Even if you cannot achieve it, a mantle can rest upon you. It's time to drink of another waters. It's time to drink of another waters. It's time to drink of another waters. Sobra zapate keboa. Reteka borobo zapatenas. Rapapare de tombo to parabapapapapa. Alege bombo sobra. Oh, ale. Oh, ale, ale, ale. Oh, riam alalo mase. Oh, samale mara na ina seba. Ela toma le kaba ba. Ah, shayata. Baria paua ileku atamaya. Oh, ileku aparata. Zebo apaiwa parabana. Hea kakapora kapapa kapapa kapa. Indo sopa tefa. Barata bobo bobo kate. Manto poro bobo koriata. Eriata, eriata, eriata. Manta para kapora parata. Hey, 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 hey. Manto poro bobo bobo sopo poro bobo. Manto poro kopala baba. Ombo sopa teke boa. Hele ke bobo bobo bongos. The power of God is coming to commit some people now. The power of God. The power of God is coming to commit some people. Now. War in angels. Entering the congregation now. Oh my God. Oh my God. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost.
wonderful, wonderful.
In the words of the angels, we've come to declare that you are holy. Oh.
In the words of the angels,
Watch this. There are angels moving amongst you now. I want to see some of you begin to dance like angels. Dance like angels. Because they'll be controlling your person.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit of God just told me that he wants to raise female apostles after the order of Maria Woodward Eckhart. Female apostles after the order of Maria Woodward Eckhart. Fearless, violent women. Holy Ghost. Touch them now. Pick them out for me. Oh Jesus. Oh my God. Pick them out, Holy Ghost. Violently. Female apostles. My God. Listen. Be sensitive.
pay attention, pay attention. There is a fire that is about to close this place down. There's a fire, there's a fire. There's a fire that's about to close this place down. There's a fire, there's a fire. Lord Jesus, open their heart to receive. Open their hearts to receive. Open their hearts to receive. Fire of God, descend upon them. Oh, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. My God, my God, let it descend upon the people. Let it descend upon the people. Let it descend upon the people. Fire of God, fire of God, fire of God. Hallelujah. 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 There's a young man. Pay attention now. There's a young man here. Listen. God is about to do something. See, there's a young man here. Pay attention. Even if you're... There's a young man here. I see you having continuous non-stop interaction with the Holy Spirit. Now, this interaction is usually heightened when you are on bike. In fact, the inspiration keep bombarding your head. Different lights from scriptures keep breaking, but you have not developed the habit of writing down. The Lord is telling me that He's raising you as a prophetic teacher. Where is that young man? I want to use you as a point of contact to release something on the people. Constant interaction with the Holy Ghost, especially when you are on bike. Scriptures begin to open, scriptures begin to open, but you don't have a habit of documenting. The Lord says He's raising you a prophetic teacher. I want to use you now to impact the people so that the grace that has come upon one may come upon all. Because He sent His word to Jacob and He lightened upon Israel. Lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands. What God was trying to achieve was to open you into a dimension. A dimension where angels teach you scriptures. You have been receiving whispers, but from now, you are not just going to hear, but you begin to see the angels that come to teach you. Holy Spirit, pay attention in the congregation. As the fire rests on them, it will touch people there. Lord Jesus, after the count of three, one, two, three, take it. Take it. Take it. Let it descend. Let it be stronger. 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 There's an equipping going on. There's an equipping going on right now. I can see a young lady. Listen.
Oh my Jesus.
Oh my Jesus. Listen, listen. There's a young lady here now. Listen. There's a young lady here. The healing oil has been in your hand since you were a child. Pay attention. The healing oil has been in your hand since you were a child. When you pray for the sick, you find yourself crying. Now, this is what the Lord is saying. When you pray for the sick, you find yourself crying. And then most times when you pray or worship God, sometimes it's as if you hear sounds and you are even afraid. You feel afraid sometimes because of the presence that comes. The Lord wants to activate you into the office of the court this morning. Where is that lady tonight? This morning. Where is that lady? You are the one. Oh my Jesus. Rapateke borobundus. Serapateke bonde sefrata. Riska frala skiro parabante. Bereska brata kiros. Repeperendo sepatelia. Mante kibo rababas. Rapaparobondo sapate. Mente sepe kibo paragadas. See, there is an equipping going on in the spirit. Refuse to be distracted.
pray in the Holy Ghost. Focus on Jesus.
There's a young lady here. Listen, there's a young lady here. You have been interceding for your elder brother. You see, from what I'm seeing now, your elder brother, the description of your elder brother is what they call wonderful. Moving around as there's no ambition. It's an ancestral altar fighting your home. See, the Lord has come to judge and set up altars. I see your elder brother moving from one place to the other. In fact, we have considered it to be a waste. The Lord has come to judge and set up altars that makes vagabond out of men. Where is this lady? Aya. I am a There's another lady here. You are praying for your mom. Your mom has an issue with her organ, kidney or something. From what I'm seeing, your mom has a challenge. You have been praying for wellness because your mom seems to be the breadwinner of the home. But she has been struck by affliction. Come out quickly. Let me minister to the both of you. Spirits travel on vibration. The mystery of sound, you don't know it. Spirits travel on vibration. As you begin to worship God, you see the atmosphere with tar. And then these angels will move on their own accord and begin to visit your foundation. Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
You see, one man of God spoke of the release of the psalmist anointing. The Lord began to give me words. But I didn't want to interrupt the ministration. The Lord told me there's a young lady here that predominantly you receive songs from God. You receive songs from God, but you've lost them. You've lost the songs. In fact, the songs the Lord has given you, if those songs were have to be sung by now, you would have gone far in life. He said, but demons come and steal them from you. The Lord wants to place something on you this morning. Let the lady come. You see, sometimes when men of God speak these things, it's because God is out to ordain. I see you writing many songs, but you have lost them. Demons come to steal them from you. And most of your songs are supposed to be songs for deliverance. They are deliverance songs. Songs that pierce through the soul, but you've lost them. Demons stole them from you.
The covenant keeping God. The covenant keeping God. The covenant keeping God.
You never leave, oh my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we speak in tongues for just 5 seconds? I'm losing a vision. Can you speak in tongues for a few seconds? I'm losing a vision, just look past. And I'm losing it. In the name of the Lord, the Lord, Hallelujah. I'll just try to describe. I'll try to describe what I've seen. We need to save a woman. I'll try to describe what I've seen. The vision just flew past and I couldn't really lay hold on it very well. I'm seeing a family of about 3 persons thereabout. The father of the home was cut off. And since then, the woman has been in depression. In fact, right now she's having a problem around her chest, like a heart issue. And I think the person represented here is a lady. Something I can't get the integers very well. It's having an issue like a heart, and every child of the house is now so concerned that it has become the reason why you cannot leave home. Cannot leave home. I don't know if I got this description clearly, but if you're in that category, can you come? It's a family. The woman now, there's a tap on her chest. Sometimes it's as if she's losing her breath. Losing her breath. Demons have come to truncate. Demons have come to truncate. Can you stretch your hands over them and release the judgment of God against the root of that evil? So Caprahito. De capasudo poras capas, bajito su bandelegizos. Those about we lay hands on them, and that report will be brought away. He has some authority over this realm. Shapatakitos.
Oh, angels are singing gold. On and at the one and at the way. On and at me, a door. So don't move at me, a door. On and me, a door. So don't move at me, a door.
Hallelujah. Who is that? There's so much happening. There's so much happening. If you are not careful, I'll just pray for everybody shortly. Yeah, so much is happening. I don't know why. So many angelic simulations. As if before you see what's happening, God, see, before you see what's happening, God, maybe that's why the visions are diffusing so fast. I'll just try to describe. You know, sometimes when you see these things, you need a spirit of wisdom to tell you what the interpretation, they're just floating. I just perceived in my spirit. Listen, see, sometimes when you're operating in the spirit, you need to know when God spoke and when you peek. Alright? I just perceived in my spirit that there's somebody here. Your auntie has been married for 5, getting to 6 years now. But there have been no issue. And it has become a source of concern. I just perceived in my spirit. You see, a lot of things are happening. A lot of things are happening. Get the time frame that was witnessed to my spirit. I just perceived in my spirit. Is there anybody here like that? See the time that I gave. I'm not saying 10 years, 15. I said for 5 to 6 years. That's the witness that came to my spirit. Alright? If your auntie is looking for a child, we can join faith with her. But the one being I perceived, the Bible said, the perception says for 5 to 6 years, there'll be no issue and it has become a challenge. Join faith now for the Lord to visit. See the time frame I gave? Man of God, please. Let's. And you will decree over them. Then I'll pray for the
pastor. Let the church stretch forth our hands to this one as we join faith with our brethren to pass declarations to open up the womb of men. Let's join faith and stretch forth our hands. The Lord will begin with them there as an indication of what He is doing. I see two of them that right now something is happening to you and it's happening to that relation of yours that we are talking about. Join faith. Come on. Know this part. I'm looking at one of them. You are fully aware that that relation of yours has gone into diabolical means. Diabolical means to see to it that the baby will come out. But I hear God say, children are the heritage of His Majesty. The fruit of the womb is His reward. They will have mercy upon you because the oracles of God has declared it. He that performed the counsels of His ministers. How shall these things be? For the Spirit of the Most High will rest upon you. Suddenly that relation of yours will begin to feel lodgings in her spirit. Suddenly she will begin to find strong inclinations to serve the will of God. In fact, I see one of them will go and join departments in church. I'm seeing service. Through service, one of them, something will come out of her. Hold your belly, all of you. Hold your belly, all of you. Hold your belly. Your belly. Just hold it. Hold your womb. hold your womb. Montes Copantus Capatas Cupa. Those of you that came out, hold your womb. Hold your breath. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Most Capatas is that. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Manta kapu takapa kaba. Abele tombes kapata. The mercy of God locates your relation. The mercy of God locates her wherever she is. I will form a baby in the womb. We create it. 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 According to the time of life, the cry of a baby will be heard in that family. And the birthing forth of that child will mark the end of the mockings of darkness for that family. And so shall it be. Oh, fellow Kopon,
hallelujah. Is there anybody here that has complication with the left ear or something? Complication. Complication with the left ear. Yes. The Lord just told me. The complication with the left ear. Left ear. A young man. A young man. Complication with the left ear. How many of you? You have issues with hearing? Or there's pain, itches, inside, some kind of complication. If you are healed, will you know? If you are healed now, will you know? Can you verify now that you are healed? All right, put your left hand there. Put your left hand there. Manteki lebendro parazigdo paradetes. Zotoki burundo si parahadadidas. Malagabundo, malagabundo. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I rebuke that spirit of infirmity that has plagued your ears, left ears. I command that plague to end now. I command the plague to end now. Healed in Jesus' name. 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 I command this ear, be restored. Be restored. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Instantly, instantly, be healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Come out of our ear. 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 Come out in the name of Jesus. Out of her. Out. Out. Out, out, out in the name of Jesus. Get out of her in Jesus' name. Come out. I command the ear. Be restored. Open up. Restored. Open up. In the name of Jesus. Come out.
The Lord, sing my shame. The Lord, Yahweh.
Get them up, listen to
the Lord.
Get them up. What are you doing? Come.
Shame me.
What is wrong?
The Lord.
Before my ear normally pains me.
How do you feel now? You're okay, completely healed. Are you sure you are healed? Are you sure? And you are just watching like that?
Show me.
Give the Lord a
hand. The Lord.
heal. Silent place, you hear sound. Okay, go to a silent place and verify and come back. Any other person? Where were the people that were prayed for? Come up. How many persons? What was wrong with you? Yeah, blocks and open. How do you feel now? It's open now. Was it blocked when you feel? You feel an opening now. And you feel you are healed. Thank you, Father. It's done. Which other person? What was wrong with you here?
When I yawn, blocks. Each time I yawn.
Each time you yawn, it gets blocked. Yawn now. What happened? When you try to yawn, what happened? Why happened? Say, when she tries to even yawn on her own, it happens. Go check. Do it and come. Let's get to know what's happening. To minister. Any other person? How many persons you were prayed for? You were prayed for. What was wrong with your ear? It itches you and swells you. Were you feeling the itch when you came? It comes and goes. But when you were prayed for, how did you tell you? Breeze entered your ear. Our ears were blocked. But while prayers were going on, breeze entered our ears. Who knows what the Holy Ghost is? If the wind of the Spirit and that affliction is cursed forever. 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 Get out of her. Get out of her. Get out of her. Get out of her. Cursed forever. You are declared whole in Jesus' name. Lord, the Lord is doing something. See, I wanted to tell you that there were tests with internal organ challenges. That was the next ministration I would go to. But before I would finish, God's servant saw angels descending to this place with body parts. Those with internal organs, I've seen livers restore. Go back and carry out a liver functioning test. Go back and carry out. Where are the people that even have these challenges? Let's minister specifically. You will go back and carry out a liver functioning test and discover you are totally made whole. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? Oh, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Masobra Soto Paragapatecos. Lebres Kevrendo Rababidos Cabrastas. Rapatapo Robosondo Kaleta Kiro Supahata. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare everyone under the sound of my voice made whole in Jesus' name. Let there be healing of livers, healing of kidney, blood infections completely healed in the name of Jesus. I command every cell in your body restored right now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and shout glory to God and receive your healing. Give me a hot praise for 5 minutes. A hot praise. What's the most violent praise you have here? The choir people, what's the most violent praise song you have here? For five minutes. Meanwhile, how do you feel? Is the sound still there? Touch!
You are about to dance.
now.
The praise in the Holy Ghost power.
You know why I asked you to dance? The Holy Ghost just told me, listen, the Holy Ghost just told me to release upon you such that he has given me. Wait, let me tell you something. You don't know what I'm talking about. I have not entered one tenth of what's on my life. See, sometimes I pray for God to help me. This man standing in front of you, Benihim has imparted me. I was passing on the torch in Rehan Bonke's meeting. I received an impartation from him. Bishop David Oedeko have imparted me. Reverend Chris Oyakilome have ministered to me. Dr. Paul Enenche have anointed my head. See, don't know what I'm telling you. Apostle Arome Osai have laid hands on me over and over. When I tell, see, Apostle Randy Clark have laid hands, I knelt in his front, he laid hands on me and said, operate in the glory realm of the anointing. You don't even know Randy Clark. He's the one that wrote the foreword in the School of the Seers. Todd White, a street evangelist in the US, he gives people, he has laid, I knelt in, he laid hands on me. The oil of my life, I have not begun to operate in the world. But if that oil is imparted in you, you can see there is grace for overtaking the spirit. You can go ahead of me 10 times and maximize it. Are you with me? The Spirit of God says, what he has put on me, I should release it on people. When you dance, you show gratitude and you connect to things. By the time I'm releasing it, it may be what Benihim put on me that will rest on you. Benihim is the most important minister in the world. He has worked with most ministers of the gospel than any other. I know what I'm telling you. It is time for something to fall upon the people. You need to watch God until you forget yourself. Then something will drop when I release the word.
Aha! Who are the God that you get?
Sometimes we are wrong. You know, I felt when you are grateful and you are shouting. The Lord said to be a quiet atmosphere. Alright? So we'll take it very gently. And as you begin to worship God, it will begin to seep into your spirit. Gradually. Don't try to act. He said it will be a quiet atmosphere. I got him wrong. Alright? Can we take a very slow worship song?
Even much.
Now me.
You may want to repent before the Lord. You may wish to repent in your heart.
And you play the song on just the keyboard, very quietly, slowly. Just be quiet in your spirit and allow the Lord to sift through you now. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you because you've looked upon their hearts and you've seen the purity of purpose. Thank you because by an act of your sovereign power, you have decided to release a measure of your grace upon them. Just as you took, O God, of the Spirit that was upon Jesus and placed on them. By the permission of your servant, who is the set man over this commission, ask that your Spirit be imparted upon them. I ask, O God, now, and let there be a performance. Thou that performeth the counsel of the Spirit. Thou that enacts the policies in the realms that governs the operations of the Spirit. Thou that walketh the dimensions of heaven. Thou that orchestrates and powers the dynamic operations of the Spirit. Thou that governs the wind. Thou that dictates the movements of life. I ask that there be a performance. There be a release of your spirit of God. You see, it has begun now. It has begun. It has begun. Just look at Jesus in your heart. Beyond falling down, my sisters. Beyond falling down, my brothers. I will say, when the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. Oh my God. It's time for the wilderness to turn into a fruitful field. Only so great and a fatal umbrana has attained Murukameatani. Lagabundu peraske brena tundre karasina hasta. Alagabundre ligisura frahaskele kidus. Rubundu sapate ke bukubarakate ka paras. Ramasate ka balamate. Onzundu frutu se predeginis. Raka fale kizus undu salamate. Yes, I'm talking to the hospital.
Ramasido Parakidas Finash Rapasiko Patakiva.
Oh, take